chapter 3, and it was so sweet. I grateful to God that so excited to do verse 10 about some things, and the Lord said, no, son, I want you to, we're going to focus on verse 11 tonight, God willing. I think verse 10 will follow, but there were some things that the Lord wanted to bring out tonight in verse 11. So I want to go with God, and we'll listen to him. So let's read verses 10 and 11, chapter 3. It says, that I may know him, amen, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And we're going to hone in on that in verse 11, the resurrection, as it says, of the dead, or maybe more precisely, the resurrection from the dead. And I first am led to, and I know so many of us know this, but I believe the Lord just more light upon light in the depths that he'll bring tonight. But let's first define. We find this word in verse 11, this resurrection from the dead. Now, you'll find the word resurrection in the Word of God many, many times. In the Greek, that word is anastasis. That means to rise up or to arise. But this is a very interesting word here in the Greek. Matter of fact, you only find it one time, this word resurrection here. And this in the Greek is ex anastasis. So this ex means out of a resurrection. So we have this rising up, this resurrection, but ex anastasis is rising up out of the rising up. So if you will, it truly is to stand up out of a separation or a particular group out of the resurrection. Now, those that have heard this message for any time, you'd understand and say, well, that's the bride. Amen. So this is such a magnificent statement that Paul is saying here. If by any means I might be in that out resurrection of the resurrection. This is it. This is why we search these things out. This is why kings search out a matter. Amen? This is why it is line upon line and precept upon precept and line upon line and precept upon precept. And we go back through these things. This magnificent statement of full glory is what this is. And we know that this is the Apostle Paul that's being encouraged as he's crying out of heart because of the Holy Ghost in his life. This was after 30 years that he, plus 30 years plus, that he had been in the full gospel glory. Amen. But there was one thing that mattered, and it was this resurrection, this out resurrection. And I love this translation of it. If by any means I might advance to the earlier resurrection, which is out from among the resurrection from the dead. I love that. He wants that first one. And I love too, as he says, if by any means I might attain. That word attain means arrive. So he wants to arrive first. He wants to be, if you will, in the rib portion out resurrection, resurrected from the body of Christ. This is very clear. This is something that is plain, plain, if you'll search out a matter. Now, once again, as we've been instructed in the Word of God by them that have followed Paul as he followed Christ, this is your birthright. This is your inheritance. This is everything. How much do you want to know of this? This is it. Everything that you have, naturally speaking, it's gone. Everything you see with your eyes in this world, it won't be here. The only thing that is eternal and everlasting is the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And I thank God that Word is in them that believe. So we know that this is eternal, that with what we have, everlasting. But here is God's investment in us, because we are the very inheritance of God in Christ Jesus. He has put all the riches in us, all of the inheritance of the Father, of the Godhead, is in his vessels. Everything. How much return would we want by his grace for us to give him? Amen? Yes, because he is so wonderful. Now, this out-resurrection, this rib portion body, we see very clearly stated in Genesis, in Adam's body. Adam's body represents the church. Out from Adam's sleeping body was taken a little rib portion. And that rib, as we know, was made into his wife. It was the wife that came out of that body. And this is, again, speaking of that out resurrection that will be a company. As we know in this third chapter of Philippians, we know that this is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus company that ran as Brother Paul ran, that partook of the same grace. I love that, as it says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, as Paul says to them, "You are partakers of my grace." I love that. It's so powerful and wonderful. And those that are partakers of Paul's grace, which is all grace, you know what happens? You receive with Paul, as it says in 2 Timothy 4:8, that exalted rank of righteousness crown. It's all the same. Everything is in, praise God, this precious, most precious message that was given to the Apostle Paul for us. Amen. Now, one thing, if you will, very important about seeing the coming of the Lord, because this is what Paul is talking about. He's talking about the coming of the Lord. We're living at the time of the coming of the Lord. Amen. We're living at the moment, brothers and sisters, that there is going to be a trump. And matter of fact, it is the trump of God. It is the voice of the archangel. It's the voice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's going to say to her, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." Amen. And she's going to be gone, praise his name. But see, it's important to see that the coming of the Lord, seeing the coming of the Lord with enlightened eyes of understanding, and we know that comes by the Holy Ghost. His coming, and once again, I will go into the meaning of the word, the coming of the Lord. In the Greek, the word is parousia. Parousia, the coming of the Lord. You will find that word many times in the Word of God, parousia. It's in the Greek. 1 Corinthians 15:23, 1 Thessalonians 4:15. The coming of the Lord means his appearing. All right? Parousia, the appearing of the Lord, is not a one-time event. It's not a one-time event. The appearing of the Lord or the coming of the Lord is not a one-time thing. Parousia occurs multiple times. And specifically with what we're talking about right here is Paul wants to be ready for the first trump. All right? The first, if you will, this appearing. And this appearing, as we know, happens to them that are caught up together with him in the air. All right? We know that there will be other appearings of the Lord. Right after that, we're going to have the innumerable multitude. When I say right after, probably within a year and a half to 2 year span, but that's after the tribulation has started. Because we know by the word of the Lord that that first company, which is seen very clearly in the church of Smyrna and the church of Philadelphia, and it's said to the church of Philadelphia specifically, "Because you have kept the word of my patience, I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation. I'm going to keep you from going into the tribulation." And I love that about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Did you know that we weren't prepared? We weren't made to go into wrath. Amen. To go into that tribulation. God had foreseen for us to grow up into him in all things. And to be ready to be in the bride. It wasn't his intention that any of us would go into that, but we know that most will, because that's where the innumerable multitude will go. In a sense, not ready, asleep to the things that were preached of and spoken of by the Apostle Paul. So, we have here this encouragement that we need to be ready. Brothers and sisters, the Lord will appear multiple times throughout the tribulation, as we read throughout the Word of God. The whole church will not be taken up at the same time. Unfortunately, that's preached by 95% of Christian churches today, maybe 99. But they believe that everybody's going to be taken at the same time. I guess it makes people feel better. Well, I don't want to feel better. I want to know what the Word of God says. I don't want to know what has been said for years by my organization, my religious organization, or by the people that I know love me. There's one that loves you completely, and this is the Lord. You need to know the Word of God. You need to know what the Word of God says. Now, brothers and sisters, we know that the whole church will not be taken up at the same time. The Word of God tells us that we will be raised in ranks and orders, and so will, as Paul is speaking here, that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So we know that, brothers and sisters, that there are going to be different ranks and different orders in this, as we will say, the appearing of the Lord throughout from the beginning of the tribulation and into the tribulation. The dead in Christ will be raised according to their rank and order. Did you hear that? See, so many think that in 1 Thessalonians 4, where it says the dead in Christ shall rise first, that he's speaking of all the dead. That's not true. It's not happening at that one time. It will happen at different times throughout the tribulation. Every man in his own order and his own rank. Stay with it here. We're going to get into this to really nail this down. Let's go on over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. All right. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And I'll tell you what, that's all your comfort, isn't it? Praise God. Amen. Payday someday, and Lord, let it be today. Amen. And that's the truth. So, the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's what the Word of God tells us. Amen. But know this, it's still going to be every man in his own rank and in his own order. All right? Now, I thank God that we are encouraged here, that Brother Paul even states, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have fought a good fight. There is therefore laid up for me this exalted rank of righteousness crown. The Lord had him to testify to us that he had won. It gives me chills to think about that. We needed that encouragement, didn't we? Amen. It wasn't just something that he ran for all this time, but he finished and he won. And Paul did say, but not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So we know that this is to us as well too. And that same encouragement by the grace of God and the same evidence of grace, we are completely confident in. Amen? Amen. Because it's grace and mercy that's going to do this, just like the Apostle Paul. As we've come into this, and I thank God for last Wednesday night's study. Nothing of us. There's no glorying in anything of us. If we glory in anything of us, in anything that we can garner in this world, we are taking away from the glory that is in Christ. Amen. I saw some things this week that just hurt my heart with people that know better. But I'll tell you what, any one of us can be a fool if we don't stay with the truth. and it will happen in an instant. And that falling away will continue on until you turn back to the whole counsel of God. To whom much is given, much is required. And I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I know it is the power of God unto salvation. And it is the power of God unto salvation with eternal glory. Amen. And know that. Hallelujah. Praise God. But the dead in Christ shall rise first, but every one of them is going to be in their rank and order. The Apostle Paul is going to be in that first rank. Amen. I believe we have been encouraged by those that we have read about, whether it's Brother Copley, Sister Bodie. I believe by the grace of God, we've been graced with many in this meeting that have gone before us. Brother Hill, Sister Chris Wilson. I could go on and on with many others. I thank the Lord for that. And it's not because they were in this meeting. It was because of the evidence of the grace of God that was with them. It was the confidence in that message from the first day until now. They didn't turn from Paul's gospel. They stayed with it. Praise God. Yes. And many others I know, though, will be raised among the dead as well. And what I'm talking about, those others that have passed on, that will be raised at the time of the innumerable multitude. Do you understand? I have brethren I love very dearly that I know in my heart did not love or treasure the bridal message, precious in the sight of the Lord. But yet the life of by any means, if by any means, it wasn't evident. Not to be judgmental, it was just what it was. Didn't care for it, maybe didn't understand it very well or whatever, but there's really no excuse. Because God intended it for all of us. And yes, he did. I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. And we need to understand that. We can take a back seat, but he didn't want us to. You can say, I just want to see it from afar off, but that's not what he intended us to have. He wanted us to get in there, just like old Elisha. I want a double portion, Lord. I saw what he got, and I want even more. Amen? Amen. Amen? Amen. Now, think about this. The saints that remain. So here we talk about the ones that have died. Now we have the saints that remain. There will be saints throughout the tribulation that do not see death. And those of the church will be raised in their perfect order. What is the church's perfect order? The bride, the innumerable multitude, the 144,000. Isn't that something? Praise God. We have a perfect order. They'll be in their perfect rank. They'll be in their perfect place. And no one's going to precede the other. Because God knows that order. And God's told us that order. Praise the Lord. But brothers and sisters, as we look at this, we need to understand as well that nothing's going to be out of order. And just as the Lord's day is a day, the Lord's day is a day, believe it or not, that'll last 1,007 years. Can you imagine that? I thought a day was only 24 hours. But it happens to be that the Lord's day begins at the moment of the first trump and goes all the way through to the end of the millennium. A day. But a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So now where I'm going with this is, do you understand, brothers and sisters, that the resurrection of his saints, think about this. We're going to go there right now. Turn over to Matthew 27. Began in Matthew 27, and will continue on, and will continue on into the tribulation. So there, my, I guess that's over 2,000 years, isn't it? Is that right? About, somewhere in there. So, my goodness, Matthew 27, verse 52 and 53. Well, let's go back and read 51. It's such a wonderful verse. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, here is the beginning, if you will, of them in that, if you will, the first resurrection. Christ arose and opened the graves. The saints are not those of the church age here. These aren't the church age saints. These are the, because we know that the church age didn't begin till Pentecost. Okay? So these saints that arose out of the grave, these aren't ones that are going to be in the church. But oh my, they went into the holy city, didn't they? They arose and they were given bodies. But, well, I don't want to jump ahead. It's just too exciting. But these are the full overcomers in the Old Testament. All right? And they were resurrected and they were given a body and they entered into heaven with Christ. And notice here, once again, it says in verse 52, and the graves were open and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Did it say all of the bodies of the saints that slept arose?
No.
Didn't. So we know that what this is saying is some of the saints weren't given a glorified body at that time and arose. There were ranks even in that resurrection. Can you imagine that? Even in the Old Testament, there were those that were full overcomers and those that weren't. And the full overcomers of the Old Testament were given their order first. They arose first. They were given their glorified body first. And they went into the city first. And these others did not go in. They did not receive that at this time. It wasn't their order. It wasn't their rank. Now, we know later on in Scripture just who these saints are. I kind of hinted at that. So let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11.
Hallelujah.
Amen. See, this ranks and order is nothing new. This isn't like some new gospel. This is how God did it. Amen. Yes. And this is what he's doing right now. So, let's go ahead and read about who these saints were in chapter 11, verses 32 through 35. Now, we're right here, if you will, in the Old Testament Hall of Fame. And what made them famous is the grace of God that was with them, that they had faith. Amen. It was all by faith. You'll find out in Hebrews chapter 11, there isn't anything by works. It's all by faith. It's all by faith in the promises of God. It's all by faith in who God is. They didn't earn a thing. Matter of fact, every single one of them should have just been wiped out. But God loves his mercy. And God is magnified by his mercy. And glorified by his mercy. And these are vessels of mercy and grace that God over themselves and believed God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, here we go. Verse 32. And what shall I say? I more say. For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, also of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Why? That they might obtain a better resurrection. Well, my, oh my. We're even talking about the Old Testament saints, that they were believing God, trusting in His grace, living by faith. Yes, for the moment and all these different things, but all for one purpose too, for a better resurrection. What did Abraham, what was Abraham's whole life about? He was seeking that continuing city whose builder and maker was God. It was the everlasting. It was that better resurrection. Oh Lord, that's what I pant after. I know You'll take care of me. I know You'll take care of me. I know that You direct my steps. I'm so thankful He's made a path, but He directs my steps. He knows my breath. Each one. He knows my thought afar off. That's how He knows me. If my God knows me like that, I know He'll take care of me. Now, what do I want to be occupied about? What were these Old Testament full overcomers occupied about? A better resurrection. They wanted more. Amen. Amen. They wanted that reward. Did they get it by works? They got it by faith. And they got it by believing the word of God. That's what faith is. It wasn't for what they did. If it was for what they did, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of unseemly stuff in here. But that's exactly who God was going to look at and go after. Because the ones that thought that they could get it done by their works or how good they were or how their life would be. And I meet them all the time. And they're my brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know when I usually meet them? When all of that false lying faith fails. Amen. Believe God. Believe God. And I love what He's encouraged in my heart. I'm not a faithful man. But I'll tell you what, I'm full of faith in the faithful one. Amen. And then I abound in the joy in believing in the faithful one who is faithful and true. And if He is faithful and true, I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't worry or think about or wonder what I'm going to do. I believe the word of the Lord. He will perform the good work which He has begun. Amen? Praise God. So, we thank the Lord here that they were about a better resurrection. These ones sought out. This better means a more excellent, not another resurrection, but a better rank. It was still the resurrection of the dead, if you will. But it was a better resurrection. They wanted that highest height that they could share in that. The Old Testament believers had the same opportunity in kind, in a sense, that we have. We'll see in a minute their mark. What was their mark, if you will? I know there was a mark for them. And you know what that mark was? The 24 elders round about the throne. Amen, it was. And I'm so thankful to God that I see that all by His grace and mercy. Whereas, what is our mark? The four living ones in the midst of the throne. Praise You, Jesus. Oh, I love that. Thank You, Lord. Now, in a minute, we're going to get over to 1 Corinthians, so just hang in there. But these Old Testament saints, they endured and received a higher rank, a more preferred order in the resurrection. Their grave was opened and they went in a first rank, Old Testament overcomer. And how glorious, brothers and sisters, because it speaks of these Old Testament ones as the cloud of witnesses. The very cloud, hallelujah, that meets the bride in the air, as we know in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's the cloud of witnesses. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. Isn't that beautiful? That wonderful cloud. Hallelujah. Yes. And I'll tell you what, the cloud, if you will, the bridegroom's friends, amen? They await with our bridegroom for his bride. And I do believe that. I see them, hallelujah, sitting right around that throne today, waiting, waiting. Father, when will you send our friend to get his bride? Oh, amen. Amen, amen. Now, this is a wonderful thing, brothers and sisters. I think about how sweet you read that there in Revelation chapter 4. Is it any wonder why the 24 elders cast their crowns before that throne? When their friend receives such glory, they're in awe. There isn't anything else they can do but just... You've got your full glory. We're in awe. Now, I'm going to tell you something, because it's on my heart to tell you. Don't argue with brethren that don't see that. Don't ever do that. Just rejoice. Rejoice in the treasure of what the Lord has revealed to you. And I will say this, some have come in here for years, and over the years, that have disputed and quarreled. Don't ever do that. Don't. There's no reason to. You have faith for something, the Word of God says keep it to yourself. And I'll say this, and share it with those that love to share it with you. All right? All right. Now, let's finish this up. Going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Aren't we thankful that this is ours? I'm grateful. I'm just so thankful to read and rejoice in what we have together in Christ. Isn't it fabulous? It is. It's wonderful. We're this family just rejoicing in what the Father's done through our beloved Savior. Hallelujah. So let's finish up tonight with this all glorious order. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read quite a few verses here, but we'll begin reading in verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Parousia, right? So once again, at his appearance. And he will get them in their right order. Amen. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued under him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, they are then baptized for the dead. Why shall we stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with the beast at Ephesus, what advantage it to me if the dead rise not? Let us eat, drink, and for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness. Sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now here we go. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, thou which sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that the body shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Once again, we have a testimony right there is how much faith in Paul's gospel. Think about that. What kind of body? Well, we know when we see him, we'll be like him. But will we be like him in the fullness, the stature, and the measure of him? Will we be fully grown? Amen. We know where that company's coming out first. Amen. Now, all flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. How by that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth earthly, the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, here we go. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Wow, we were just reading about a first one. Now we're talking about a last one. For that trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So do you see, brothers and sisters, with all of that, and how much that is, my oh my, why you endure? To attain the more excellent. To attain the if by any means. To attain the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The first trump rapture company. Those of Smyrna and Philadelphia. Oh, I love that. With him at the beginning of his day. Did you hear that? With him at the beginning of his day. The moment before the tribulation. Oh my. The grace of God that we would be the sun glory saints. Oh yes. And I'll tell you what. A last tidbit. Glory also means appearance. That when he appears, we would be like him in sun glory. Amen. All for him to be clothed. We've read about these things, brothers and sisters. Clothed in the lampros white. The lampros white. That's a white that's only spoken of Jesus and one other time of his bride. Yes. The most brilliant righteousness. The garments, the righteousness of saints. Revelation 19:8. She is the sun glory for him. And why not? She's just like him. Amen. Is it any reason why that bride is the company of the four living ones? The lion, the calf, the man, and the eagle. All representations of the four gospels. Amen. They're just like him. They're so like him that even John, as he was taken up to write Revelation, how many different times did he have to fall down and worship that one that was showing him around? Must have been one of them sun glory ones. What do you think? Absolutely. Now, know this. Revelation 21:11. It says that the bride, that New Jerusalem, she descends from heaven having the glory of God. And I love that. And her light. See, it's not reflected. It's not a moon glory. But it's within. She's the jasper, it says that light is. The same jasper, the same diamond. Him. Amen. That's why the Word of God tells you that the Apostle Paul brought that message, the mystery that had been hidden. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This glory, this glory, this full glory, this lampros white, this light within, this light that is the jasper, this light that is him in all his fullness and all his glory. And brothers and sisters, I will ask you, as I ask myself, will we allow this to grow to the fullest intention for him? Do you realize even just a bit of the groaning that he has for you to be that one that will be glorified together with him in the midst of the throne? It's amazing. It's so wonderful what we have in Christ. What we have that by his grace has been given unto us. As he said, I'll have grace upon whom I'll have grace. I'll have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. And I'll tell you, I believe the Holy Ghost just made it plain. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. I love the evidence of grace, and I've been rejoicing in that this week. The Apostle Paul was given that encouragement at the time the Lord was going to take him. I've won. That grace did it. It gave me the windfall. I was confident in nothing else. There wasn't anything else. I didn't come back and preach anything else to you fellas. I didn't come here with another wind of doctrine. I didn't try to get more people to follow us. A matter of fact, I wound up alone in a prison cell. But I'll tell you what, this one thing I do, this if by any means I'm going to attain. And I can honestly believe, well, Lord, I guess if I'm the only one, I'm still going to lay hold and take it. But I'm thankful to God that Brother Paul knew that he wouldn't be the only one. That the Lord saw through all of this time. And he saw you. He saw you. He saw you. And he saw me. And he had that sweet brother say to us, and to all them also, to all them also that love his appearing. And we know what appearing he was talking about, don't we? Perugia? Oh, it's an appearing, all right. But I want to see him first. Oh, I'm greedy like that. I love him. And I want to see him first with you. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.